The latest fatal aviation accident from Indonesia is military. Boeing prepares to mothball the Cold War. And the VH-71, cheaper to keep her? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 21st, 2009. Initial reports say an Indonesian C-130 has gone down during a training mission, killing 69 of 112 souls on board. An Indonesian Air Force spokesman, Bambang Sulistyo, confirmed that the plane came down near an Air Force base in East Java Province. Media reports at least four dwellings on the ground were hit, but there's no word yet on injuries or fatalities on the ground. Witnesses have reported an in-flight breakup, with one villager reporting, quote, "one of the wings fell off, then the plane nosedived into the houses," unquote. The recent safety record of the Indonesian Air Force, sadly, parallels that of its civilian aviation system. Last month, the service lost a Fokker 27, with 24 dead. The president of Boeing Integrated Defense Systems appears to feel the good times for defense contractors fed by decades of the Cold War may finally be ending. Bloomberg reports that in a recent interview, Jim Albaugh commented, quote, "It's possible that 2010 could be the high watermark as far as defense spending," unquote. He was referring to recent policy outlined by U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, in which the Obama administration is refocusing procurement dollars on weapons systems of the type needed in conflicts like those in Iraq and Afghanistan. Albaugh says Boeing last year bought six companies with technology and expertise in unmanned vehicles, cybersecurity systems, and logistics. He adds that Boeing will move more work in-house, reducing the risks involved in the integration of outsourced subsystems. Other strategies to guide Boeing through the new defense reality include freshening older products, such as the already announced stealth adaptation of the legacy F-15 fighter, which may have appeal for both the U.S. military and its allies overseas. The stakes are high. Just over half of Boeing's $61 billion in 2008 revenue came from military projects. Figures from the U.S. Navy suggest that last week's official cancellation of the VH-71 presidential helicopter program may have been politically expedient, but not necessarily financially smart. Lockheed Martin, with developer Augusta Westland, has taken lots of heat for program cost overruns, which have threatened to double the original projected cost of the new helicopter fleet to more than $13 billion. What the general public doesn't hear very much is that a lot of that bloat was driven by hundreds of changes, including what AW says were 50 major design changes after development was started. Now, Reuters reports the U.S. Navy estimates it'll cost over $500 million to terminate the contract and wind down production, and another $4.4 billion to keep the elderly VH-3 and VH-60 helicopters on the job. Considering that Lockheed said it could deliver a downsized fleet of 14 more VH-71s for $6.8 billion, the cancellation is starting to look penny-wise, pound-foolish. Lockheed has already delivered 4 test aircraft and 5 production models. The Navy hasn't decided yet what to do with them now that production of the rest of the fleet has been canceled. Up next on ANN, April saw airline traffic down double digits from last year. One segment of the airline industry actually gained in overall employment. And Babbitt faces questions from senators about Flight 3407 and its implications. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 21st. I'm Paul Plagg. The Air Transport Association, representing most U.S. airlines, says continued declines in traffic during April resulted in revenue falling 18% below April of 2008. The Wall Street Journal reports ATA figures show continued declines in routes across the Atlantic, Pacific, and to Latin America. Early in the recession, international routes looked as if they might offset the decline in domestic traffic, making some airlines sluggish to aggressively cut international capacity. There was a bit of good news in that the 18% drop in April was smaller than the 23% lost year-to-year in March. The Easter travel season came later this year, falling in April in the second quarter instead of March in the first quarter, so comparing April to April is not exactly apples to apples. Analysts generally appear to feel the upcoming summer travel season will show improvements in traffic levels, but not necessarily in airline profits. There were fewer people at airports in March this year than last, and not just passengers. USDOT's Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that for the ninth straight month, there were fewer employees at domestic airlines in March. Full-time equivalents, which call two part-timers an equivalent to one full-timer, dropped 5.7% from March 2008. A lone bright spot was low-cost carriers, which employed 0.1% more people in March than a year earlier. Employment at the seven network carriers was down 6.7%. The numbers are not expected to turn around anytime soon, with further announcements by the industry of capacity cuts this summer. Randy Babbitt's Senate hearings for confirmation as administrator of the FAA started yesterday in Washington, D.C. It quickly became apparent that the February 12th crash of Continental Connections Flight 3407 will be a major issue in the process. The Buffalo News reports Babbitt faced several questions about the tragedy in a room where some family members of victims were on hand. He commented on the growth of regional airlines and declining experience levels among regional pilots. Quote, "All of this adds together to make an environment that exposes them to a lot higher risk levels, and I think we are probably going to have to go back and look at some of this," unquote. Babbitt has some credibility on the issue. In the early 90s, as president of the Airline Pilots Association, Babbitt sought a single set of standards for both major airlines and the regionals under a program called One Level of Safety. Still ahead, Iran's new missile is real and it could hit Europe. The world's oldest Boeing will be flying again this summer. And what? The airlines come out against abusive passenger fees? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Iran is claiming a successful test of a new medium-range missile capable of hitting targets in Europe. Defense News reports that Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made the announcement in Semnan, near the missile's launch site in northern Iran. Quote, "The defense minister told me today that we launched a Sejil-2 missile, which is a two-stage missile, and it has reached the intended target. I was told that the missile is able to go beyond the atmosphere, then come back and hit its target. It works on solid fuel," unquote. AFP News in Washington says a U.S. official, speaking on condition of anonymity, told it, quote, "Initial indications are that it was successful. At this point, there's reason to believe it was a medium-range ballistic missile," unquote. Israel's Deputy Foreign Minister Danny Ayalon says it's no big deal for his country, which is already within range of existing Iranian missiles. Quote, "But it should worry the Europeans. The Iranians are also trying to develop a ballistic missile with a range of 10,000 kilometers that could reach the coast of the United States," unquote. Regarding UN sanctions over its apparent pursuit of nuclear technology and intercontinental delivery vehicles, Ahmadinejad remained defiant yesterday. Quote, "You can adopt 100 sets of sanctions, but nothing will change," unquote. If you live in the U.S. in the Pacific Northwest and couldn't get to Oshkosh last summer to see the world's oldest flying Boeing aircraft, you'll have another chance this summer, much closer to home. Addison Pemberton of Spokane, Washington, was able to obtain two wrecked Model 40s and the needed drawings to build what is now the world's only airworthy example. The resulting plane's maiden flight in February last year marked the first time a Model 40 had been in the air in 65 years. He took the plane to Oshkosh for AirVenture. This year, Pemberton says he intends to fly the plane from Spokane to the Arlington fly-in near Seattle and display it during the event, which is going to be held this year July 8th through the 12th at Arlington Municipal Airport. In last year's April edition of EAA Sport Aviation magazine, Pemberton remarked, quote, "There is still a lot of original DNA left in this airplane from its last flight in 1928. One of our main goals in restoring this treasure was not to place it in a museum or keep it tucked away in a hangar. It is my intention, as the custodian of this airplane, to share it with as many people as possible," unquote. And no, sharing does not mean letting you fly it. And finally today, President and CEO James May of the Air Transport Association is outraged at the current FAA Reauthorization Act, House Resolution 915. Among its provisions, the bill would allow airports to raise another $2 billion a year through increases in PFCs, or passenger facility charges. In an op-ed yesterday in Aviation Week, May acknowledges that airports have legitimate funding needs, but May complains that PFCs, quote, "too often have been used to support controversial projects of questionable value, like bike racks, which would also be eligible for PFC spending under the bill. Airports must resist treating air travelers as the equivalent of an ATM," unquote. And he's exactly right. Why, what would happen if the airlines tried imposing a bunch of higher fees on passengers? Especially while executives earned huge bonuses while their companies lost billions. I mean, it... Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell asks Lycoming Senior VP and General Manager Ian Walsh for updates on three major product initiatives first announced last summer at Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.